Hey everybody, Sharon McLaughlin here. I'm the founder of MindLow and the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Facebook group. Each week, I'll be bringing you tips to help build your business. One of the problems that we have as business owners is that we don't know where to focus, and this is where my journals come in. Could you do me a favor? If you like what you're hearing, could you leave a good review and also share it with a friend? Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Today, we have Dr. Maria Simbra. She's a doctor coaching on speaking. She's a coach, a consultant, and a principal at Dr. Maria on Speaking, where she helps doctors use better words and better messages to put them their best selves forward on camera, microphone, and at the podium. She's a medical doctor at KDKA, CBS Pittsburgh for over 19 years, where she reported on outbreaks and patterns of disease, health and wellness, celebrity illness, screening recommendations, medical innovation, the types of things the media that ask the doctors to comment on regularly. Her first career was in neurology after residency at the University of Pittsburgh and a neurophysiology fellowship at Medical College of Virginia. She went into private practice with Valley Neurological Associates in Monica, Pennsylvania, and then became a clinical assistant professor of neurology at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. She's an MD, MD, PhD, and has a master's degree in journalism and mass communication. When she's not on media, doing a presenting coach, being a consultant, she's a wife, she's a mom, gecko master, which we need to speak about, and also she's on stage. You can visit her website at drmariaonspeaking.com. So Maria, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Let's get going. You are a neurologist. How did you get into like being online, into media? How was that?
Right. You know, that's a common question I get, Sharon, because this is not the most common path for most doctors. So to look at this, I think you have to go back to the trailhead of how I came into medicine in the first place. So I decided to go to medical school when I was 20, and I made the decision, as 20-year-olds do. I was a biology and chemistry major in college, and graduation was approaching, and I had to figure out what I was doing with the rest of my life. And my dad's a doctor, and of course, he'd be so proud of his only child, followed in his footsteps. My professors were looking at their good grades and, you know, they were urging me to apply to medical school. And all of my peers were playing the medical school application game. And of course, super achiever me, I had to play along too. So in 1993, I graduated from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And then I did my internship at the medical Medical Center of Delaware. And I finished my neurology residency at the University of Pittsburgh. I even did a neurophysiology fellowship at the Medical College of Virginia. And then I went into private practice in Monaca, Pennsylvania, which is in Beaver County, one county northwest of Allegheny County, where Pittsburgh is. And eventually I became a clinical assistant professor of neurology at UPMC. So this sounds like a typical career path for most doctors. But even from the earliest weeks of medical school, I had serious misgivings about my career decision. And I would have these crises all along the way through medical school, through residency. I had these crises where I almost quit. But as you know, once you get in the medical education system, you cannot get out. The powers that be reel you back in. You know, they worry about the attrition rate. They worry about losing the house staff funding, all those things. So I stuck with it. And then I found myself in private practice. And at this point, there are no more fellowships. There are no more rungs to climb. I mean, this was going to be it for the next 20, 30 years of my life. And it was sucking my soul. I mean, there was the office and hospital politics. There was the pervasive threat of a lawsuit. There was the assembly line vibe to the workday. And I just thought, I have to get out now. And so I started reading everything I could about career change. And I read this book called I Could Do Anything If I Only Knew What It Was by Barbara Scher. And in this book, she gets you to think about everything that ever lit your world on fire. And this could be in your professional life, this can be in your personal life. And growing up, it was always about writing and performing for me. I mean, I wrote music, I wanted to go into musical theater, but you know, creative careers like that were not allowed in my family. So I had to put those interests aside during my intense studies. But I like the analytical part of being a doctor. I think that's part of why I chose neurology as a specialty. So I thought, well, how could I put these three things together, performing, writing, and analyzing? And I thought, well, TV news might be a way to do that. But how do you do that when at this point, all I'm trained to be is a doctor? So I reached out to news directors all across the region, and most of them did not give me the time of day. But one got back to me and said, well, if this is what you want to do, you need to go back to school. And I think he thought he'd be rid of me that way. You tell a doctor she has to go back to school and she's not going to do it. Well, I showed him I did go back to school and I got my master's degree in journalism and mass communication. And as part of that, I did an internship at the station at KDKA, and they asked me to stay on as their medical reporter. So I did for the next 19 years. I'd also like to point out, I do have an MPH as well. This is what I call my midlife crisis degree. I finished it when I was 50. And it was mostly out of homage to a beloved med school professor, Dr. Bruce Dixon. He was a brilliant internist and infectious diseases doctor. And he was also the director of the Allegheny County Health Department. And had he not been my attending during my acting internship, I think my career paths would have taken a very different route. But he showed me and taught me that as doctors, we have a duty to make the world a better place with our background beyond just practicing medicine. And I've tried to live up to those lessons through my various careers. And unfortunately, he died before I finished my degree, and he'd even written one of my letters of recommendation. So I'm sad about how that turned out, but I'm happy that he inspired me to get my MPA. But you know, when I was a medical reporter at KDKA, I would report on things like outbreaks and, you know, screening recommendations and new developments in medicine, celebrity illnesses, medical innovation, things that doctors get called on by the media on a regular basis for comment. And these are the things that I teach in my medical skills courses to help doctors be prepared for that. Now, you're probably also wondering how I came to be a coach. So TV news changed a lot in the two decades that I was in it. And it's amazing to think that in that time, you know, the very first big story that I was involved in was my second week of internship, and it was 9/11. And the last big story I covered was the pandemic. So it's amazing. These are the bookends of my TV news career. But the business changed a lot in that time. And, you know, the responsibilities of the reporters were changing, and there was a lot of turnover in the staff, and, you know, a whole new management team came in. And I thought, okay, I think now is the time to move on. And so I found a job with a large public relations firm, and I worked with a lot of pharmaceutical companies. And I joined a small team there whose responsibility it was to train executives to be prepared for the media interview. For example, if the president of the drug company were asked to go on Good Morning America to talk about their new FDA-approved drug, my team would prepare that individual with lights, camera, the whole shebang, so that they are ready. And it didn't take me long to realize that the hierarchy of that company was not for me. So I made a quick departure, and I was kind of bummed about it for a little bit because I really would have liked that kind of work. But then I thought after a while, well, why do I need to do it for a company? I could do this myself. And I started my own business, and this is what I do now. I train doctors to be prepared for the media interview and for any public speaking that they might have to do. So I am a media and presentation coach for doctors.
What a great story. You know, you took something that when you were talking about medical school, you know, I myself have left clinical medicine, but many years later, I can't imagine going through that back in medical school, having so many doubts and stuff. I really applaud you for hanging in there, finishing. And then on top of that, taking something that you knew you weren't passionate about totally, and then turning it around. Like, how amazing it is that for 19 years, you were able to be the neurologist and also talk about all the things we spoke about, talk to the media and talk to people. You had a platform there to spread your message and really share information with people in a way that is digestible.
Well, I think that's one of the most important things. For doctors to speak to the media is so important. It positions them as the expert. It helps them attract the patients that they can help the most. It promotes their department and their practice. And most importantly, it's a way for the reliable medical information to get out to the public. And I think that is so needed right now.
Absolutely. What is your typical client like as far as a physician? What are they looking for? How do you help them? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. I hope to help physicians who would like to do more media interviews. Perhaps they haven't done any at all, or maybe just a few, and maybe they didn't go so well. I'm hoping that by teaching them a little bit more about how the media works and how media reports come together, and through coaching, one-on-one coaching with me in a safe space before having to do it for real, that helps them build confidence with the media interview. And I have a three-step approach. In my public relations job, I'd been there long enough that I thought about how would I coach a client who was coming to me to be prepared for the media interview. And I came up with this three-step framework, cyclical framework. So there are three steps. I call them capsules. So capsule one is called the workup. And this is all about the motivations. What motivates you to do a media interview? What's going on in the reporter's mind? What are all the pressures in news that shape a news report? And how could you get media opportunities for yourself, keeping those things in mind? So the next step in the cycle is capsule two. I call this the prep. So at this point in the cycle, the reporter has reached out and the media interview is imminent. So here, we look at all the things you need to think about ahead of time, like all the things you need to work out with the reporter, preparing yourself, preparing your space, preparing your message. And then the third step is called the and in this stage, the interview is actually happening. So these are all the things you need to be mindful of during the interview itself. Like, are you on using your best body language, bringing your best words to the interview, and how to reroute an interview if it's not going so well. And I also talk about a few things to do after the interview is over. And then the cycle repeats. And this is the basis for my media skills courses. And you can do them just as the courses themselves in video mode, or you can have one-on-one coaching with me.
You had mentioned it was helpful to go get your master's in journalism.
Yes.
What do you think about nowadays? If a doctor wanted to be on a media channel, is this necessary? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a good question. I think it helps. I don't think it's necessary. There are certainly a number of physician media reporters that do this quite well without a master's in journalism or any journalism training. And there are also many journalists who do this very well without any medical training. So I think it's helpful because it shows you behind the scenes and all the things that you need to think about in journalism that you may not necessarily get when you do it for real. So it's a good background and it's good training. And for changing gears, it was invaluable. It's very different than being a doctor. They're both high pressure jobs. They're different types of pressure and a different schedule of pressure. So it was helpful for me to go through it, but I don't think it's necessary for everyone to do that.
And then do you help them as far as getting perhaps connections with the media? What would you suggest there?
There is a unit in the first capsule all about getting media opportunities for yourself. I'm upfront about this from the get-go. I'm not a public relations firm. I'm a media coach. So I can help you prepare, but I don't do any media placement per se. But I do go over how to get opportunities for yourself. And part of that is keeping up on the medical news of the day. And I have a blog, actually, that gives you in less than 5 minutes all the top news stories in medicine for the day. Also, letting your hospital administration know that you are willing to do media interviews, because that's often the first call the reporter will make, will be to someone in the administration, either marketing or media relations, or, you know, every hospital has a different name for that department. And then also, just letting your office staff know, your office manager perhaps, because the reporter might call directly to your office and bypass the hospital. So just let your office manager know that you are willing to do these interviews so that they can go directly to you.
Maria, these are wonderful tips. What are you hoping for the future?
Well, I'm a brand new company, so I am hoping to help more doctors, and I'm expanding some of my offerings, including some presentation courses and maybe some podcast courses. You're a great inspiration, Sharon. But I'm just hoping to build this over time and to help more doctors become more comfortable with the media interview.
I'll tell you, I've played a lot with the podcast. I'm glad you're doing a podcast course or program. There's never enough of that. If you can save people time, it always ends up being saving money as well. I've learned a lot along the way. I'm glad you're offering this.
Well, I'm excited. You know, I think it's an exciting time and everything's in flux and development. And it's just really great to see how it's all unfolding.
One more time, where can they get that blog post as far as the medical news for the day? Where could they reach you? We spoke about it at the beginning, but one more time.
Absolutely. So the best place to find me is on my website, drmariaonspeaking.com. And from there, you can find my blog, which is The Med and Mike. And it publishes Monday through Friday around 10 o'clock in the morning with all of the headlines of medical news for the day. And you can get CME also for reading the blog. So that's an extra bonus there. I'm also on social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. All those links are on my website, drmariaonspeaking.com.
Maria, thanks so much for today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sharon. It's been great.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.